Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com.
Every team, every topic, everywhere. This is Believe.
Detaching the ones who keep acting attached, it's a leech. I am no pastor, but actually preaching. Look up these letters and actually reach. That was where it all began. Had to put in work every day, we got it in. We chased all our dreams, and now they can't believe it. We make it look easy.
You currently locked in to the coldest podcast in the land. It's your boy, B Jones, aka Bolo. You know when I'm pulling up to the porch. I can't pull up without my dog.
What's going on, y'all? It's your main man here, Big Smitty, a.k.a. D-Nice. And you heard Bolo just said, this is the porch. Welcome. We are back, man. We are back, porch family, man. So excited to be here, man. My brother Bolo is back. He couldn't be there with me last week.
Salty.
The amazing Claudine Cooper, man. Legend out here on the West Coast, especially out here in Inglewood, man. She blesses again for part two of her on the show. If y'all ain't tapped into that, make sure y'all go tap in, because she dropped a lot of gems on relationships, marriage, why people getting divorced, and much more. But Bolo Benz, man, how you doing, brother, man? How you feeling?
Hey, man. Blessed, highly favored, man. 10 toes down, man. God, glad to be walking on God's green pastures, brother. I can't complain. How is the sunny side of L.A. right now?
Sunny side of L.A. is a little chilly right now, but chilly, I can't complain. It's a little chilly. It ain't Naptown chilly. But it's L.A. chilly, and your boy a little soft now, so it's kind of feeling like 30 degrees right now. So
wait, do motherfuckers buy coats in L.A.?
Not coats. People wear jackets, you know, long sleeves. Okay. You don't really see, like, no actual, like, Chicago-style bubbled-up coat with Tim's on. They ain't really doing that out here, you know.
Okay.
So, yes, sir, man. Yes, sir. But, hey, man, we so excited for another primetime episode today. Very special guest. And before I introduce him to the show, man, got to shout out our sponsor, Bet Online. Go to betonline.ag for all your sports gambling needs, man. It's NBA season. The Lakers is in the the quarterfinals right now against the Pelicans. I think Lakers versus the Pelicans.
Yeah, they hooping.
And then the Pacers going crazy. You got the Pacers hooping as well on the other end. We might see a Pacers and Lakers final in the end season tournament, man. So if you want to bet on those games in NFL and much, much more, go to betonline.ag. Use the promo code BELIEVE. That's BLEAV to get your 50% plus welcome bonus. But without further ado, man, I told y'all before, we got a special guest. Big time guest. We get bigger and better every single time we come on the porch.
It's getting good, y'all.
It's getting good, y'all. And today's guest, he's a creative. He's a filmmaker, a producer, a director. He's an actor, an entrepreneur, and so much more. The one and only Tommy Boy. Welcome to the porch.
Yes, sir. Welcome. How you feeling today?
I'm feeling great. How are you guys?
Man, blessed.
Yes, happy to be here, man. Another day to just get better, to learn from your mistakes, and to learn from our other people. That's what we love, you know, having this platform, man, that we do here on the porch, man. It's bigger than just the business side of it. The ability to truly learn from other people's stories and their journeys is huge, and we can't wait to just dive into yours. And to get things started, man, we always decide to start off with this one simple, I use the air quotes, one simple question. Who is Tommy Boy? How would you answer that question, man? Take your time.
Damn, who am I? Nobody's ever asked me that.
It's the porch.
Wow. I'm sorry. I wasn't ready for that.
Nah, take your time. You good, chill. Hey, you chilling. Ain't no rush. It's really a difficult question. Like, we call it simple because it sounds simple
But it's damn like a loaded question, though. Like, you know what I'm saying? It come with a lot.
I am imperfect. I am flawed, which is just like it runs with imperfect.
Yep.
I'm careful. You know.
I like that. I don't know if I've ever heard that before. I almost want to dive into that a little bit more, Bolo.
I kind of want to expand on that a little bit. Obviously, we got some time, but I mean, I think this is a perfect time to
careful. Like, I like to say that I'm careful. You know what I mean? I'm careful, mindful. You know, I like to say I'm intellectual. You know what I mean? Impatient.
I can share that.
And as you guys know, being an entrepreneur, it's kind of like you need the patience, but at the same time, you're like, we got to get this done. You know what I mean?
Now.
Right now. And in my work, I am definitely impatient, but I am perfectly impatient because through my work that I have done through this year, which we'll talk about, my impatience benefit because everything that you will see and the audience will see is real time. If you're left up in the air with something or something confused about something, that's because I was too. And that's where my pen stopped. But I had to get it done. You get if that makes sense.
Now that's real. It's like whatever. It's like what you see is what you get. And it's like, it's just real. All flaws and all, it's right here in front of you. Like you're not going to, you're not faking a phone.
Or like, why is, that's where I was at.
Yeah.
I like that.
I'm very impatient, but I am impatient with a purpose.
You know what, man? And that's a hell of an answer, Bolo, man. And I kind of want to jump straight into it because hearing you kind of explain how, you know, what you see is what you get. And like, if there's something you don't understand, it's because I didn't understand. And that's where my pen stopped. To me, that's a sign of vulnerability. And when I watch your films, I don't want Bolo to watch your films, I see a ton of vulnerability. And I guess my question for you is, man, like, what makes you so comfortable with being vulnerable on the screen, whether it's you acting or even just you from a producer and directing standpoint? Because, like, being real, man, a lot of your stuff is deep. It's deep. And it's a lot of stuff that I think is personal experiences. And you correct me if I'm wrong, but I think it's stuff that either you or someone you're close to directly have experienced these things. And it's like,
Right. All of them are personal stories. All of them are mine. Everything I've seen is me. 100% authentic. My life. I have written everything. And it wasn't easy. You know what I mean? It caused a whole lot of sleepless nights. Still, I go through sleepless nights where waking up at 3 o'clock in the morning and not able to sleep. Gotta get this all very uncomfortable when I watch these things. A lot of the time when I have to go back to review it, I have to do either with the volume down or I have to, you know what I mean? I have to be very careful because I cringe, you know what I mean? And that's what I want to do. I want to be able to cringe. I want to be able to shiver because I want the truth to come out. If I can't cringe while I'm watching this, I don't expect the viewer to believe it.
I love that.
For real.
Now let's take us back a little bit. Like, what got you on the path of actually filmmaking?
Depression did it. I've probably been in depression, honestly, for 2 years. Through the film, you see me get beat in the mall.
Yeah.
Pretty bad. You know, I have scars.
Seen that.
You know, I'm right here. I think I don't show what happened to my shoulder. My shoulder was actually completely shattered. I had to have shoulder surgery. After, to get into it, as you see in the film, you know, somebody, a Caucasian male came up from behind me in the mall, hit me in the back of the head for absolutely no reason. Never met this man a day in my life. If he were to say two words right here, I wouldn't know what the hell he even sounds like. You get what I'm saying?
Right.
Wow.
Going through that, you know what I mean? As a man, you feel demasculated. You know what I mean? You feel... especially as a black man, you know what I mean? We walk around, we kind of walk around with that chip on our shoulder.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah.
You know, that certain type of swagger or whatever.
Yeah, that aura,
That we walk around with, we're proud to be black, we're proud to be a man. You get what I'm saying? And from that moment, he took that from me. And I didn't know who I was. And so going through that and I was trying to mask it, meaning I would try to make fun of it or make it a joke so nobody else can like see me hurt.
Right.
But I was just putting a patch over, you know what I mean, over a wound that needed to be sewed up, that needed to be stitched. You get what I'm saying? I wasn't stitching the wound. So from that, then death started happening. Well, you know, through that time period, I'm going back and at the same time, I'm going back and forth to court, you know what I mean, over this. And I did not want to go to court because we all know how the legal system works for, you know what I mean, for us Black males or people of color. We all know how it doesn't benefit. It just is what it is. And I'm going back and forth to court. Every time I went to court, it was very draining. But I was still pushing along. You know what I mean? I'm still pushing along. You know what I mean? As I'm dealing with other life issues, I'm dealing with the PTSD of what I've dealt with. My face was like busted wide open. And but I'm still, you know what I mean, going about life. Like, you know what I mean? Still smiling, still waking up, still in trying to enjoy myself and try to enjoy life as it once before, as I once knew it before then, and not accept what happened. So from that, my grandmother passed away, my grandfather passed away last year. Then this past February, finally the verdict came down. I did not want to give a victim impact statement, but I was convinced to. Everybody was like, you know, you need to do this, blah, blah, blah. And also had, you know, a legal suit with them all as well. So all of this has to, you know, kind of ties in together a little bit.
Right.
So I was like, okay. You know what I mean? I go down to the courts. My then girlfriend, now ex-girlfriend, she goes with me. She wanted to go. So she goes with me. And I sit there and, you know, the judge allows me to speak, or, you know, I mean, I actually see them there. So he allows me to speak about, you know, how I feel about the situation, which happened. And, you know, I give my victim speech of what happened, you know what I mean, how it impacted me moving forward, how I was before. And, you know what I mean, a bunch of other stuff. And the judge basically told me in front of my face, he said, there's nothing he can do because due to California has a program called the Mental Diversion Program. Meaning if they deem you mentally ill, they put you on a 2-year treatment plan. And after the treatment plan, your case gets dismissed. Meaning nothing's going to happen to no jail time. You're going to serve a day in jail. Nothing happens.
Wow.
And boy, he's from New York. So he's actually, they flew him back to New York to serve the program at home.
Wow, so made him as comfortable as possible, basically.
Basically, like, you know what I mean, good. Like, he probably not even, you know what I mean? So, and I was already pre-prepared for this to happen. You get what I'm saying? I did my research. I talked to, you know what I mean? I talked to a lot of lawyers and I talked to people. So I was already prepared for it to happen. But until it happens, you know what I mean? It's different. You know what I mean? So that was like a hit. So it was almost like a gut check. You get what I'm saying? And it was like, damn, like, it's almost like my life didn't matter. You get what I'm saying? Like, whatever, I have to live with the PTSD. I have to live with a scar across my face. My shoulder will never be the same ever again. I got bolts and plates and stuff like that. And my shoulder will never be the same. So from then, 3 weeks after that, my then girlfriend, now ex-girlfriend, leaves me the day after my birthday. Mm. And tells me she never loved me. You know what I mean? That's not what it was for her. And you know what I mean? You know what I mean? I obviously had every other excuse in the book, but I never loved you. That's not what it was for me. And blah, 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 blah. So I went, you know what I mean? My life just, you know, I went under. You know what I mean? Everything. Right. I was just like, what the fuck? You know what I mean? I don't know if I can cuss on here.
No,
you're good. Support. Yeah, but,
so. I was just basically like, what the fuck? What's you know what I'm saying? Like, what is happening? You know what I mean? And this is a person with her, you know, that I opened up to, you get what I'm saying? That knew my deepest, my darkest secrets, the stuff that you guys have watched in the film and stuff that the audience will watch in the film. This stuff was only been spoken about to her. Right. Unless you were brought up in my household when I was a child and you see, and when I speak, I'm talking about my child abuse issues, you know what I mean? Me watching my mother get mentally and physically abused almost on a weekly basis. Mm. So, you know what I mean? You know what that does to a child, you know what I mean? And a lot of this stuff, like I said, I put in the film, which you guys, you know, have watched.
Yeah.
And from that, like I said, I stopped eating. I stopped, you know, I couldn't sleep. I was just, what is wrong with me? You get what I'm saying? And the whole time it was just like, am I just a terrible person? Like, does God or this universe just not love me? Like, what is going on? And so I decided to write. And the first thing I have written was this poem called Remembering Love. And that's actually in the first film, Sid, is just the film entitled Sid. And it's the second act. And it was just a poem. That's all it was supposed to be. It was just supposed to be a poem. That's it. It was never supposed to be anything else. I wrote it, and I wrote it with tears in my eyes. Never forget it. I wrote it with tears in my eyes. And as I'm writing it, and I sat on it, and I was like, you know what? I want to see this. I have never directed before in my life. I have never, did anything. I said, I want to see this. I call up a buddy of mine, Chris Paul Thompson. I call him, and I said, can you do me a favor? I'll pay you to do it. I'll pay for everything that I do. Everybody that you... It's on the credits. Everybody got paid. I'll pay for everything else. I'll pay you. You know what I mean? Can we bring some people in? And I want to see this. He was like, okay. You know what I mean? Didn't know where we're going with it. So we shot it. So when we shot it, I was like, okay. I kind of didn't like the first cut. So I reshot it again to the one that you guys actually see that's on the film. Then as I'm reshooting it, I want to add more to the story. I wasn't done. You know what I mean? So then I wrote... the first piece where you see me talking to myself, you see me going back and forth to myself, because we all have those, whether it's in life, relationship, we always have those, what could I have done? We always have, I should have did this, or no, I should have did this. We have those both sides where it's just like, you don't know which way to go. So like, I was going through that process of like, damn, like, let her ass go. Like, no, but I love her, but then you go. And I was going through the remembering love phase, and then at the end, and the last one, you see me driving a car, and I'm just, well, okay, what do I do now? You know what I mean?
Right.
You know, should I just tell her I love her? Should I pull up on her? What should I do?
Right, right.
But that's how it all came about. It was just a poem that I just wanted to see a visual, so I took that, and I just kept, my pen just kept going and kept going. And it's still, I'm working on two more concepts as we speak. I'm still not done.
Damn.
Now, I mean, that's, we really appreciate you for sharing that, man. Yeah. It goes back to, what Big Smitty mentioned as far as the vulnerability piece and being able to obviously not only tell us that, but like you're telling your story to the world, and you're opening up, the wound again. I feel like, every time you watch it or every time you think about it or it comes up, like it resurfaces, right? So, I guess talk to us a little bit about that. Like, obviously to be able to, speak your trauma and put it out there for the world to see, like, do you experience like reimagining the events when you hear about it again? Does that do something to your psyche when you hear it again or you see it again at all?
I'll tell you one thing. One would say therapeutic. I'll say it's not therapeutic. You're torturing yourself. And I have tortured myself time, like you said, you're cutting that wound open. You're cutting it open again. You're cutting up to the point the wound can never heal because, it gets infected. Because as you're through this process, as I'm opening this wound and I'm writing, I'm writing and I'm seeing this, I want more answers. So what does that cause you to do? You go search for the answers, right? So you go, you make a couple phone calls, In a film call, there's been times I called my mother. I'm yelling at my mom. I'm just like, what the hell? Why did this happen? Or why did you allow this to happen? I'm even calling my ex-girlfriend. Trying to find, because you're searching for the answers. Because as I'm writing this, questions are going through my brain, because a lot of it I'm writing, I don't have the answers to. And as I'm writing, this is my real life. You get what I'm saying? So not only am I creating a piece, I'm actually, this is my life that I'm living in real time. You get what I'm saying? Actual real time. So at the same time, I'm trying to search for these answers, and you're not getting, when a person is not willing to communicate with you through that, you're stuck. So now, it just leaves you in a world, it's not healthy. I wouldn't, if anybody can do this, they're very brave, and kudos to them and respect to them, because working through your pain or in your pain, it's not the easiest thing in the world to do. Like as you see in the film, I get very dark. I get very dark. Events are very real. I don't know if that answers your question.
No, yeah, no, absolutely. And, you know, I must say that, you know, I do commend you for your bravery, being a Black man and being able to express your feelings and your vulnerability takes a lot, just because, you know, I think the hardest thing to do in this world is be a Black man, because we're supposed to be the strongest. We're supposed to be the toughest. We're supposed to be the backboard, right? Take it all, right? And be able to just, it bounce off of us and then be able to continue to move. But it's okay to sit there and be vulnerable and just be like, what do I do? Like, you know, I'm in a situation where I need to figure it out. You know, I think that speaks a lot to, you know, we human, like, just like everybody else. You know, we may be the strongest, but yeah, we need help sometimes.
For sure. For sure, man. And you mentioned too, like, a few, you know, kind of when you started sharing your story of how you got, you know, into filmmaking, that your depression started about 2 years ago. And you specifically just said started. You didn't say it ended. You didn't say it finished. Sorry. You still living in it right now, currently?
But right now, as you speak, you're still talking to a broken man. As you speak, I just hold it all together. I keep it together. And I look at it like this: as a gift in every bad situation, you just have to be strong enough to find it. You get what I'm saying?
That's real.
The goal was always to direct. The goal was always to produce. It's just, I just never knew how I was going to get there. You get what I'm saying? And if this is what it took for me to go through quote unquote hell in my own world, you know, because everybody's situation is different. If for me to go to hell in my own world took me to forgive, this is just what it is. And, but no, I'm far from done, because it's just, you know, I feel now that I unlocked Pandora's box, I can't close it, if that makes sense. Like, I just can't.
Let me ask you this, and you probably, I mean, I feel even silly asking the question, because if you knew this answer, then you probably wouldn't be depressed. But what do you think it will take for you to get out of that depression? And I guess the reason I'm asking that is because, like you said, we all go through stuff. Like, we all got different things that we've battled in our childhood. Currently, we will battle. You know what I'm saying? But like with you, it's like what do you think it will take for you to get out of the depression? While also understanding that, yeah, there will still be more mountains to climb. You will have more headaches. There will be, unfortunately for everybody, death in family. There will be situations in the relationship. Like it's going to happen. So, like,
oh yeah, for sure.
Obviously, we don't want you to live this living depression the rest of your life. So how, like, I guess, and it's a loaded question, but how do you think you'll be able to get out of that?
Once I learn how to love myself.
Got you. Do you feel like you've ever loved yourself, or you feel like you've never really loved yourself?
I'll say this, like, I always pride myself on trying to do right by others. Gotcha. Trying to be there for other people, whether that's sacrificing me financially, me physically, you know what I mean? Because if I rock with you, I sign a contract to myself. With you, I sign a contract, meaning anything goes down, I'm front line.
Right.
Anybody that rocks with me and knows me, Tommy gonna die for me. You know what I mean? Right. Tommy gonna ride for me. You get what I'm saying? I lay everything on the line of whoever I rock with. And at times, that causes for me to have a lack of love for myself. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. You're so worried about everybody else and focused on helping everybody else and pleasing everybody else that you keep putting yourself in last place.
Exactly. So therefore, I'm acknowledging, shit, maybe I didn't love myself that much. But I live with a purpose of trying to make sure everybody else is okay. You good? I'm good. You get what I'm saying?
Yeah, I be thinking the same thing myself. It's like, shoot, I'm gonna be all right. As long as y'all
like,
good,
I can handle it myself. Like, yeah. I know.
Like, not to get too personal, but like, I remember one time with my ex-girlfriend, we laid in the bed and I looked at her straight up. And I said, I was serious. I said, look, your money's your money. My money's our money. So I want to make sure I'm gonna be okay. You get what I'm saying? I'm gonna make it work, you know, no matter what.
Right.
But long as you good, I'm all right. You get what I'm saying? Mm. And that's what I pride myself on, is long as people around me are good, I'm good.
And that goes back to what Bolo said earlier, not to cut you off, but like being a black man specifically, and I can't speak for nobody else because I'm a black man and we all black men. I don't know how nobody else. Right. We always like, we just grew up, we was like trained almost, even subconsciously, with the mindset, man, I'm good. I got it. You know, even when you know deep down inside, you're like, shit, I don't know how I'm gonna get that money by the first. I don't know how I'm gonna be able to do it, but you can't let the world know that. You get it. Yeah, you get it somehow. You figure it out. Legal or illegal sometimes, unfortunately, but it's what it is. You figure it out.
Find a way, man.
I did it both ways.
Now, Tommy Boy, I wanna take it back a little bit and get a little deeper with this. Obviously, I was able to watch a few of your pieces. Obviously, it was pulling on my heartstrings. I actually had my wife watch one of the videos as well. And before I get to my question, I must say that it definitely reminded me that I need to listen a little bit more and study the body language and not just more of the verbal side of things and everything. And even the script of like going to the store and seeing how intentional, you know, she was with buying things and going, like me going to Target instead of just going through the motion, just being able to relish in that moment. Like, it was super deep. But my question is for you, and it's very subjective, right? What is love?
What is love? Man, that's an interesting question, because what is love? What I've noticed is what is love for me might not be love for somebody else.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. What is love for me is the simple things. You know what I mean? Laying up watching TV, being with somebody in a house, just in basketball shorts, sweatpants, whatever. And you guys are just enjoying each other, because you have to at least like that person to be in that type of intimate setting. Because we can all go to Bossa Nova, to Nice Guy, Delilah's, LA restaurants, just to be in the company of somebody.
Right.
But when you're at home and you're by yourself, you know what I mean? And you have to really like this person for this person, for you to be there and wake up and this person's still there. You get what I'm saying?
Right.
You have to, like, you know what I mean? It has to be something that you really have to care for. That is love for me. Love is simple. Love is not rocket science. You know what I mean? Love is being attentive. Love is just, it's patience, man. It's just understanding what a person likes. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like, for instance, if you watch, like you say, you reference Sid, Remembering Love, when at the store. That's love, dude. When I can go back and I can think about the most simplest times, her, you know what I mean, picking out soaps and, you know what I mean, lotions. And we had TJ Maxx, you know what I mean? Like, this is not... You know what I mean? This is not Disneyland. You know what I mean? It's just, love is just, it's understanding, and understanding a person. That's, you know what I mean? I don't know if that answered your question. But
No, it does. And like I said, I think it's very subjective. Everybody has their own interpretation of what it is. But I think it does get back to that same point of, you know, commitment, unwavering, you know, being able to compromise, like, you know, things like that. So, I mean, it's important. Because, you know, I think in order to obviously love yourself, I think people got to understand what that truly means. And then kind of take those necessary steps to get to that point of loving yourself and then being able to love others too. So that's real.
I made one mistake and you know what I mean? And I don't even call it a mistake if you want, but I dared, and I don't dare anybody else to do this, but I dared to love somebody more than I love myself.
Mm.
I dare to, and I don't, you know what I mean? That's a crazy thing to do, you know what I mean? But it's beautiful. It's beautiful when you're in it, you know what I mean? When you just like, oh my God, like just going to the store and it's like, okay, I think she might like this. Or, you know what I mean? Just, you know, that person, being a person.
The problem with that though is, cause it's like, what I've learned, cause I'm a married man, Obolo, we're both married men on here. And what I've learned that is, so on one half, it's like, yeah, when you're married, you're in a relationship, you have to wake up each day and decide that you're going to choose that person first. You're going to make a decision to be the best version of yourself for that person, right? but you also have to choose to do those same things for yourself. And if you're not loving yourself first, there's no way you can love that person the right way or to the full capacity. So I think the problem is the word selfish gets thrown out a lot. And I think we deem selfish as being a negative thing. And in some cases it is, depending on how it's being used. But at the end of the day, you have to take care of self first, because if you don't take care of self first, you can't take care of nobody else to the full capacity. And I think we got to make it okay with taking care of ourselves first. I think that's okay. I can't take care of my wife if I'm not good, if I'm not mentally there, if I'm not focused, if I'm not loving what I'm doing with my career or my health, my weight, my way I'm looking, and I'm just putting every single thing into that person. It might sound good on the surface to the public, to the friends, to Instagram, but in reality, how you feeling deep down inside about you? And at some point, that feeling of how you feel inside is going to come out, and it's going to cause way bigger issues than you ever could have imagined or even had to deal with. And then unfortunately, a lot of times, once those issues come to surface, come to light, all hell can break loose and you can end up losing a lot. So I just think, man, you know, like figuring out what, like Bolo asked you, he said, what is love? And it's like everything you use to define what love is to you, you need to make sure that you're receiving that or putting that into yourself as well. And if you're bringing anybody else in your presence, whether it's a family member or a loved one, a girlfriend, whatever, make sure that they are aware of what you need and that they are bringing those things to you. Otherwise, they're just wasting your energy and they don't need to be around. Ooh, am I preaching right now? Stop playing.
Come on. Amen. Amen.
I don't know where that came. That came from somewhere else. That came from somewhere else. I hear you, God. I'm speaking through you right now, Lord. That wasn't even me.
Crazy.
Yes, man. Yes, man. But let's dive specifically into some of your films, man, because we definitely want all the Porch family to, you know about your films for themselves, to be able to watch them. The last one that you had sent me personally was, I think, was Broken Pieces. Can you kind of dive into that a little bit and kind of explain what that is? I love how you spelled the title, because if I'm not mistaken, you spelled Pieces, P-E-A-C-E-S. So it's kind of like a play on words there.
Oh, man. That was just a play on words. But that Broken Pieces is my favorite one, because that was... See, it's like what I told you before. That's the last one that I shot so far. But if you listen to my words, I'm starting to get closer to the, you know what I mean, closer to understanding of what it really was.
Right.
Yep. I was able to unleash a little bit more of how I really feel. Because in the beginning, I found myself more so trying to protect a person. Okay. That makes sense.
Yeah, it does.
Trying to watch my words, because I really don't know. So let me, you know what I mean? So let me.
But you still care about the person too. Even so, it's like, even though I feel like the person did me wrong, I'm still protecting your ass.
But watched the film before. I didn't know. Right. I had no clue. So when you get into Broken Pieces and when you listen to Broken Pieces, you hear the anger in me. You hear the understanding. You hear, like I say, you said you was done, knowing deep down I'm in love with you.
Right.
You know what I mean? I say, you seen the piece. I say, I'll be wilding. I know you seen the pain in me, just like I seen the piece of you. Meaning, you know I'll be wilding. You seen the pain in me. You seen me hurt when you're walking out that door, but I seen the peace in you. I seen that you were just done.
And you was good with it. You was cool with it.
Good with it. And
I was hurt.
You said he was done, knowing deep down I'm in love with you. Mm. And you hear me say, the trauma you carried, I tried to bury. Meaning, we all got issues, we all got problems, but I wanted to be that safety net. You're gonna right for you. I wanted to be, you know what I mean? At least I tried to be the best way I can. Yeah. You know what I mean? And it was almost like, so with Broken Pieces, man, like that was just me just like finally exhaling. Like, okay. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like, you know what I mean? Then you hear the saxophone player, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. He's playing Can You Stand the Rain?
Yeah.
And everything's intentional. Even with that piece, his name is Tobias. And I actually sent him to her house after we broke up. and had him play Can You Stand the Rain. I had him play that song with flowers and a card, the whole thing. I'm trying to get my girl back.
Yeah, facts.
You get what I'm saying? I'm trying to get her back. I sense hope. So the reason why you hear the saxophone player and you hear him playing that particular song is because I actually sent him over. Everything you see is very intentional, and every piece, everything's intentional. There's nothing out of place. There's nothing fabricated. Everything is real.
Let me ask you this. You know, obviously the situation, the relationship ended. Do you think if you were to do things the right way, would it salvage the relationship? Or do you think at this point, where you are now seeing and reflecting on the relationship, was it just something that was a means to an end at some point anyway?
When you say the right way, what
well, you know, obviously, you know, looking at, you know, the pieces that you have put together, as far as, you know, listening more and kind of being there in certain situations, like even if you did a little bit of that, because obviously there are situations even in my marriage where I am not perfect in certain aspects,
none of us
right?
are.
You know, but let's just say if we could rewind time and you fix some of those things, do you think it will still be salvageable, or do you think it's already going to be a means to an end?
That's why the story is far from done, and that's why I said my pen has stopped, because with broken pieces, I understand it really wasn't me.
Right. That's where I was getting at.
Yeah. Like it really wasn't me. Meaning this probably should have been done a long time ago. Meaning this probably should have been done before we even started.
That's real. That's real. You know,
I'm following you. Yeah.
You know, meaning, because we go through that. But that's where you deal with, now we're about to get into something completely different. We go into the whole manipulation. We go into the whole this. You.
It was you. You should have did this. You could have did that. And you start believing them. You're like, well, shit, should I have did that?
Right. Because we're talking about broken pieces, but let me jump to traumatized. I don't know if you guys have talked traumatized. Traumatized came about because everything that I expressed to a person knew about me, they use it against me.
Ooh.
If that makes sense.
You use your own insecurities and trauma
as a weapon against me. You need to get help and I can't be here to help you. You need, you need this, you need that. But that's why, that's why it's important for the audience to watch each piece. Cause you see, yes, I need to get help, but the trauma you carried, I tried to bury. I tried to be there for you. I tried to protect, you know what I mean? I wasn't expecting you to use everything against me, everything, you know what I mean? So that's why traumatized is so, so, so important, because I went through that, like, you know what I mean? All my vulnerabilities was wrapped up in one, and that's what got thrown back at me. And that's why in traumatized, you hear me say at the end, the beautiful black woman who I knew I loved from the first time I seen her. Something where I say, even though she says the love was never real, I still feel for whatever it was, because it was the realest feeling I ever felt in my life.
Right.
And he called and he said, this voicemail, you know what I mean? The call goes straight to voicemail.
Yeah.
Because it's just like, damn. Like, you know what I mean? Because even though I went through all this, that was my safe place. Like, I can call you. You know what I mean?
Right.
And she accepted that. You know what I mean? She accepted just as much as I accepted, but I didn't know that's not what it was. You know what I mean?
Damn.
And I'm sorry, I'm probably going off. I'm going to say this. This is very important. And this is probably one of the reasons why once I get to learn to love myself more, I'll be in a lot better place, because when you watch Traumatized is very important. It started off with my mother and my father.
Yeah.
They didn't love me. They couldn't have loved me because they didn't love themselves. You hear me talk about my mother where, you know, she allowed men to beat on me and stuff like that. My mother had her own insecurities. You hear me talk about my father. My father was alcoholic. You get what I'm saying? So it was impossible for them to love me because they didn't love themselves. I'm a product of them. I am them. They look at me. Right. I'm them. You guys. My father passed away when I was 15. So I went through this whole, I'm 30 years old. I went through this whole 29 to 30 years of not understanding of having a foundation what love is. So when the person came into my life, I'm like, oh my God, this feels great. This person
It was amazing. It's like, damn, this is what love is?
Right. So even still to this day, it's still one of the realest, the best films I've ever felt in my life, because I never had it.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? So I couldn't identify it. So by me not being able to identify it, how can I love myself right now? Because I still, you know what I mean? I'm still have to do the groundwork right now. I'm still doing groundwork and of understanding first, okay, what is love? How do you love? You know what I mean? Who actually is here to love you? Like I use a Tupac quote in Traumatized where I say, no one knows my struggle. They only see the trouble. Not knowing it's hard to carry on when no one loves you. Because it's difficult. You get what I'm saying?
Yeah. Right.
It's difficult when you go through life and you be like, damn, who loves me? You know what I mean? Somebody can say, yeah, I love you. Do you? You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
Do you really? You know?
And in a weird way, I feel like it almost could be get tougher on you when you actually do experience love for the first time and then like that person leaves you, because now it's almost like, okay, at first I didn't even know what it was, so it's like, if I ain't never had it, then fuck it, I'm like, this is what I'm used to. But right. Then I get it and then it gets stripped away from me in a sense, and so it's like, damn, I finally found love and now it's gone and I ain't never had it. Am I gonna find it again? I can see how mentally that could like fuck with you almost, you know what I'm saying? But at the same time, though, now that I'm hearing the full story and obviously how the, you know, it started with your parents and it trickled down to you, and you kind of touched on it. Unfortunately, like, this is kind of just a part of the process of just learning what love is. It's like anything. When I first started playing football, I was shitty. I didn't know how to do anything. I just, like, and of course, in this society, in this world, we want to skip the BS and get to paradise and everything, whether it's career, whether it's love, whether it's relationship. Let's skip all the hurdles and pain and struggles and get to the beautiful stuff. But what I learned in life is that no matter what area it is that you're in or what you're going through, you have to go through troublesome times and struggles and pain to build you and build that shield and that protective gear for what you're going to be blessed with. And you never had love. So it's like, even though this wasn't the full love that you deserve and that I believe you will have, you had to at least experience that first level of it, even the pain that comes from it. So the next person you with, you will be more established, more understanding. Mm. And you're learning too more of what does Tommy Boy want? There's no way to know what you want or how to be loved. You ain't never been loved. So now you got to experience that first. You learn from that. Now you're like, okay, that didn't feel right. I actually did like that part of what she did and how she approached me. This was wrong. And you're learning now, almost, in a sense. You know what I'm saying? And this is me. I'm not no therapist like that. This is me, like, reading what you're saying and, like, kind of what's coming to me. You know what I'm saying?
Right. I think I'm at a place, and honestly, I'm at a place right now where that's why I got to get back to. Before anything, I get back to love me, because I'm at a place right now. I don't want to do this again. You know what I mean?
Facts.
I don't. Like, I'm comfortable being alone for the rest of my life. And you know, one would say, oh man, you know what I mean? But if you know me, and the ones that do know me would be like, he's, you know what I mean? This is something he would do. You get what I'm saying? This is something he's comfortable in. Cause I'm more of a routine person. And once I get into that comfort zone, I stay in that pocket. You get what I'm saying? Because once my life gets shook, I get shook. You get what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
And especially once you find, you know what I mean, somebody pries on your vulnerability at times, or somebody, you know what I mean, comes in, like you said, like, imagine, you know what I mean? Oh, I love you, I love you, I love you. No, that's not what this was for me, but whoa, we did. Ooh, you know what I mean? I didn't invest it. I didn't, you know what I mean? Like, what the hell? You know what I mean? And it hurts, you know what I mean? It hurts bad. And one thing I have learned about love, man, love will kill you without you even dying. You know?
Damn.
Love will kill you without you even dying. I have learned that, you know what I mean? Love killed me, you know what I mean? You seeing me, but love killed me. It did. Deeply, not just in a relationship standpoint, you know what I mean? My mother, my father, you know what I mean? I met, like as you see in the film, I say my father, you know, he passed away, you know what I mean? My father passed away a year after we reconnected. I was 15 years old. I wrote my father a letter. and trying to reconnect with him. My mother wasn't too happy about it. She was pissed. And I wrote him a letter. I found him on, back in the day, I think it was called White Pages or something like that, where you were able to look him up. Me and my dad had the same name. Looked him up, wrote him a letter, put my phone number down. My mama changed the number 2 days later. Luckily he wrote back, said the phone number got changed or whatever. We reconnected right away. And about a year later, he passed away.
Wow.
And that was like, you know, I mean, and as a kid growing up without a father, it's like, damn, you know what I mean? Like, then when you finally get it and it's gone, you get what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. It was like the same way within my relationship. It was like, damn, I finally got love and that was gone. But then you find out that's never what it was. So now it's like, what the hell? Like, give me a fucking break.
I can see how that could make somebody put a guard. Like you said, you'd be okay if you was alone the rest of your life. And I just feel like it's because you've been through so much. And it's just like you said, you don't want to go through that pain again.
Yeah.
The only reason why what happened to me in the mall happened to me in the mall, I was by myself. I was alone. Like, oh boy, I don't show this in the film. I do show in the mall the attack, what happens in the mall, but I don't show the initial. That initially he actually is standing behind me and he flinches at me first, pulls back, looks around to make sure I was by myself, then goes and hits me, you know, on top of my head and, like, you know what I mean, commits to, like, you know what I mean, assault me for, I think, about a minute.
Damn.
But that's the only reason why it happened, because I was alone. I'm comfortable going to the mall alone, going to the movies alone, out to eat, wherever alone. But when I got with who I got with, you know, now I got, you know what I mean? I got somebody riding with me, which was cool. I got somebody sliding with me every, you know what I mean? That feeling was beautiful, you know what I mean? I was like,
That team feeling, that partner.
I can get used to this, but now that's not what it was. So now it's me getting back to, okay, let's get back to being Tommy again.
Yeah, that's real.
The one thing I want to say, I'm sorry, real quick, but
go ahead.
The one thing that's on my mind is, try, and it's easier said than done, but I don't want you to allow your previous partner to define everybody else that you might come across in your life. I know it's so much easier said than done, but that person isn't every other woman or every other person that you might come across. You know what I'm saying? Like you might come across somebody who really loved you, who really is riding for you for who you are. And I guess my only suggestion would be allow the door, leave enough room in that door open to allow that to come in. Don't leave the door all the way slammed shut, locked and bolted, and don't give the person even a chance to slither in there. That's my only little thing, Bolo. I just want to throw that out there.
That's real game, bro. You've been on your shit today. I'm trying to tell you.
I'm just listening to my guy, man. I'm just speaking from the heart. Yeah.
No, but what you're saying is right, but I think, okay, how much do we measure then? You know what I'm saying? I think that's the problem that we have. Cause, like, you know, someone would tell you, well, don't give somebody so much too soon, right? You know, that's what people say. Or don't open up, but when do you? You get what I'm saying? Or how long do you wait? Or how much is this? How much? Everything is almost like science, or like a math equation. Right. But it's like something feels right, or is this, or is that. Why not? You get what I'm saying? But then when it's in your face, it's like this. But if everything goes good, you're good. You get what I'm saying? It's almost like you're just gambling. You get what I'm saying? And I don't know if I want to gamble again. I'm not a gambling man to begin with. You know what I mean? So I don't know if I do want to gamble.
But ain't life a gamble anyway? Ain't everything a gamble? Ain't you investing your money in your own film project a gamble? Ain't you... every time you make a decision in life, you're gambling, even if you don't want to do it. Everything we do, this Porch Podcast, we invest our own time, our money, our efforts into this. We don't know how big it's going to blow up or how much money we're going to make big picture, but we are gambling in a sense. You are gambling in a sense, right? You know what I'm saying? Like, I use the word gambling loosely, obviously, but you get what I'm saying. Like, there's always a chance that the thing could not work or go the other way. Yeah.
But I think with me and everything I do, it's back to me when saying I'm careful. You know what I mean? And that goes back to the careful thing. Yeah, everything I do, I'm very careful. And you know what I mean? I don't get too high, I don't get too low. You get what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And these films, I I probably invested, you know, I'll just throw out a number. I don't know. Probably like 40,000, I'll say, in total. And I did it not to become the a biggest short film, you know, I mean, director or whatever in the world. Yeah. I did it to whoever's going to touch is going to touch. If it touches one person, that's fine. If it don't touch nobody, it's fine. But I know when I leave this earth, I'm not going to be here forever. It'll be here. You get what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Everything is all said and done. It'll be here. And I can live with that. So, yes, everything is a gamble to a sense.
Right, yeah. Right.
I'm very careful within that. So this thing, love, you know what I mean? You can't be careful, you know? It's going to do what it's going to do.
Now, I'll say this, and this is just to my brothers that's listening to the Porch Podcast, maybe even my women, right? So, you know, obviously throughout the porch, throughout tonight, right, we've talked about, you know, being able to love yourself, right? Once you're able to love yourself appropriately, you tap into this thing, what we call emotional intelligence, right? So this emotional intelligence thing gets you to the point where now you can verbally express how you feel or how somebody makes you feel in a certain situation. So even if you share something about your traumas, about your upbringing, about the way it's created you, who you are to somebody else, now it's their time to sit back and do what they need with that information to continue to make you a better person, right? So the biggest thing I think for men and even Black men, right, with us kind of wearing the world on our shoulders, it's hard for us to explain our problems to people without them telling us, stop bitching, be a man, like grow up, right? So it's real tough. I think it's very, very hard. But I think when you find the right person that is able to work with you and understand the emotional intelligence side of things, then that's when I know that you found somebody that, you know, you're willing to be with for a long time. And it don't even have to be love at first, but I think it's someone who's able to help you continue to tap into your emotional intelligence when you're able to express yourself, be vulnerable, and they're not going to weaponize that when you get into an argument, or they're not going to use that as a defense mechanism, you know, when something's not going their way. So, you know, when I married my wife, right, just briefly, I had a hard time communicating how I felt. It was one of those things where I'm Black and white. It is what it is, whatever, whatever. I'm cool. I'll get over it. Blah, 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 blah. Right. So now I'm at the point where now, oh, no, I'm going to tell you and I'm going to explain to you how I feel, what happened. And I want you to give me a solution as to, hey, sorry, I didn't know this made you feel that way. Hey, moving forward, we can do this. And I think if somebody's able to sit there and understand you and understand your emotional intelligence side, then that's someone that you should continue to rock with. So I think, you know, obviously I love myself, right? Me personally, I love myself. So I know exactly what I need in order to be loved the right way. So I'm just going to continue to communicate that to my partner or whoever. Listen, if you're communicating that to your partner, if they are putting that back out there to you to help you continue to grow your flower, then great. But then, or if they're turning it against you, then you know how to maneuver through the situation before hurting yourself too bad. Mm. You know what I mean? So you don't have to give them the whole entire thing, but just go ahead and throw a couple things out there that's surface level for you, that is small things about you a little bit that taps into your emotional intelligence a little bit. And if they give you a little bit more, then you give them a little bit more. And if they continue to, you know, harvest and continue to water your plant, then you can give them a little bit more. And then once your plant is blossoming, you know that they're actually helping you succeed and tapped into who you are and helping you love yourself, then that's when the love is really gonna start. So that's a quick little gem though. That's just me myself too.
I would say this. I'm definitely gonna say this. My greatest achievement I ever did in my life was love a woman.
Mm.
And wow. Being able to love. After everything that I've been through child abuse issues, through almost losing my life, through just life in general, my greatest accomplishment that I was able to love a woman, not just any woman, a beautiful Black woman.
Mm.
You know what I mean? I loved her from the top of her head to the bottom of her feet.
Mm.
You know what I mean? That was my greatest, and I wouldn't trade that feeling for anything in this world. That was my greatest achievement. And I have done things in this world that I could even dreamed of when I was a kid. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
But that's ultimately my greatest accomplishment that I ever did. And like I said, it's really beautiful. And all those things, you know what I mean? I felt I did experience, you know what I mean? Everything you said, it was that until it wasn't. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. my vulnerabilities, and my insecurities and everything I go through as a man was safe until it wasn't. You know what I mean? Start off, until everything just started tumbling down, that's when it was no longer safe. That's when all bets were off. And nobody would know when that's going to happen until it happens. You know what I mean? So, but like I said, the feeling of loving and being able to continue to love a person after you've been through so much pain is, you know, I mean, like I said, I'm truly grateful that I was able to love and love the shit, love and fucking love. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But like, I know I'm saying this, but like I loved everything about that person. Like if her shit stink, I'm telling you that shit smells like Febreze. You know?
Right. You can do no wrong in my eyes.
No, Like a buddy of mine told me the other day, he's like, I mean, he was like, can nobody tell you nothing wrong about your baby? And I was like, yeah, that was true. Like nobody could tell me nothing. And I cherish that.
Yeah.
And I always cherish that I loved and was in love. And maybe I'm heartbroken and in love at the same time right now.
Right.
I'm still in love after all the bullshit. I'm still in love, but I'm very heartbroken, but I'm still in love with a beautiful black woman. You know what I mean?
Yes.
I like her too much right now, but if she was on the side of the road and something's going, I'm going to pull over. You know?
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. So I got two questions for you real quick. So my first question is more of a personal question. Obviously, feel free to answer it if you want. Is this your first love?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So 29 years, so yeah.
Got you. So usually the first one usually cuts the deepest. I can definitely understand that. Cause when I'm hearing you talk and I'm hearing some of the things you say, I'm like, this must be this brother's first true love that like literally you were like, I'll turn the world upside down for this person. So that speaks a lot of volumes. My second question was about the film side. What do you want the viewers to take from the actual films that you put out there that it expresses and exposes so much about your love of this individual? And then obviously talks a little bit about, you know, your upbringing and kind of those things as well.
What I want the viewer to understand is more than anything that whatever you're going through, find an outlet to release. That's what this was. It was just an outlet to release. If you want to take the love side of it, cool. You know what I mean? If you want to take we need to be more cautious of what we show our children, because if you watch the Untitled Project, you see me as a little boy.
Yeah.
And he's watching his mother be physically and mentally abused. He's hearing this, he's seeing these things. His mother didn't give him the love that was me. And if you want to take that, we need to, you know what I mean? We need to protect our children. We need to protect our women. You get what I'm saying? If you want to take that side of it, you know what I mean? If you want to take the understanding that black men hurt too, or men hurt too, you get what I'm saying? Like, we're not Superman, you know what I mean? Like, we're not made out of steel. If you want to take that side of it, you can take that side of it. If men want to take, damn, I need to start pay more attention to my woman. You can take that side of it. You get what I'm saying? But what I want the viewer to really take is, no matter what you're going through, find an outlet to release it. You get what I'm saying? You're talking a lot of that stuff I did, especially early on, dude, I was fucked up. Like, fucked up in so many ways that you can only imagine, that only the closest people to me really knows where I was at and where I was going while this thing was being created. But I have to continue to do it because I needed a release. You know, if I can inspire you to just find an outlet and just, you know what I mean, and just try to keep going.
I love that, man. That's a beautiful message, you know. And a lot of people need to hear that, because sometimes, you know, people choose the wrong outlets that are negative for you and leads down a dark path. So I'm glad you chose a positive one. Let me ask you this, man. You got any, I know you're always working. I think you even started at the beginning of this podcast saying that you got some other stuff that you're cooking on. So anything that you're able to share, any teasers, anything that you like got coming down the road, or is it just TBD? We got to wait for it.
Nothing's TBD. Everything's my own personal project. So nothing, only one project is out, and that's the first initial seed. Everything else is coming, you know what I mean? I only dropped one. I got three of them. No, four. Four is already shot. So Broken Pieces is shot, Traumatized is shot. Let me go in order. So it's going to be Sid, Traumatized, the Untitled Project, Broken Pieces. Then I'm working on two more right now.
Nice.
Yeah, so and I did all this in a matter of 7 months.
That's impressive. Man. That's impressive.
Everything's a matter of 7 months. Like I said, I wanted to really live in the moment. I really wanted to, and everybody will tell you, oh, you have time. I'm like, I ain't got time, bro.
I got to do this now.
I was in my Tupac All Eyes on Me mode. Like, we got to get this done. I don't got time to be sitting here. Like, this has to get done. And everything will be dropping. Really, I'm really hoping the first of the year, either the first or the second of the year, I want to go ahead and just start just unloading all this stuff and just seeing what it does. You know, I mean, I don't care if it gets 2 views, 1,000 views. I don't even check the views, to be honest with you. I just, you know, I mean, just put it out there and just see what it does.
That's the best way to do it, man. And let the people know, where can they find this beautiful piece of work? I've seen it, Bolo have seen it, man. Behind the scenes is dope, so I can't wait till the rest of the world can see it. Where can the Porch family find this when it finally does drop?
So everything is going to be under Tommy Boy Freezem on YouTube. If you want to stay updated on everything, it's my Instagram, Tommy Boy Freezem. So just those two outlets, social media, you don't have to pay for nothing. Everything's free. So
free game, y'all. Come on, Porch family. Game, you heard what he said. Don't take nothing to support.
And like I said, everything on these projects, if they're not a lesson, hopefully they're just a reminder. You know what I'm saying? If it's not a lesson, it's just a reminder to get back to, maybe I didn't think about that. Let me think about that. Or I never did think about that. Or oh shit, I forgot about that. You get what I'm saying? If it's not a lesson, maybe it could be a reminder to you. Or maybe it could just be inspiration. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Those three things, that's it.
Either way, love that, man. You're gonna leave with something, man. And I know we left here with something. So we appreciate you, bro, for dropping so many gems, being so vulnerable. Definitely, you know, it's gonna be supporting you and everything you got going on moving forward. You know, man, you know, stay prayed up, stay, you know what I mean, just with good people in your circle so you can, you know, continue to grow and get through this depression. I think conversations like this is a step in the right direction, honestly, and getting through that, just opening up and being real and talking on the platform. And like I said, I can't thank you enough for doing this. And man, Bolo, another impactful episode.
Another good
episode.
One, man. Another one.
Yes,
another
man.
One.
Another good
Appreciate
one,
Appreciate that. Absolutely.
Make sure, Porch family, you guys can follow us on all platforms, obviously, YouTube, Caffeine TV, Instagram, at @ThePorchPodcast_. TikTok as well, man, and anywhere where you listen to audio, man, Apple, Spotify, Google, it's going to be everywhere, man. Make sure you hit that subscribe button, download, like, and Time Boy, did you have one last final word before we go?
Oh, man, I just tell everybody out there, man, just find you an outlet to we're all going through something. It's a tough time, you know, for everybody right now. Everybody got something going on. Just find that outlet to release. And if you can create whatever, you just create something. You know what I mean? Create something to the world. Give something to the world.
Yes, love that. Man, love that. Porch family, we did it again. Most importantly, find that outlet. Also, make sure you love on the people that love you. And every day you wake up, just ensure that the best you
is the best you. And we out. Peace.
Detaching the ones who keep acting attached, it's a leech. I am no pastor, but actually preaching. Look up these letters and actually reach. That was where it all began. Had to put in work every day, we got it in. We chased all our dreams, and now they can't believe it. We make it look easy.
Thank you for listening to Believe. You can show support to your host by subscribing to the show and giving us a 5-star rating on your preferred platform. Check us out at Believe.com and search for BLEAV on YouTube.
You know when you're listening to a true crime story that has an unbelievable plot twist that makes you stop in your tracks? That's what our podcast, People Are the Worst, brings you with each episode. I'm Rachel.
And I'm Rebecca. We're identical twins who love true crime cases that make you say, "Didn't see that coming," and we hate the people responsible for them. Listen to People Are the Worst now on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.